everybody, and welcome to Fortress Comic News, episode 308.2. I'm the host today, Chris. So, another great interview for the week. I was able to get a couple in this week, which was really nice, talking to some indie creators. Today, we're talking with Jeff Haas. Jeff is not only a comic creator with his new book, The End of All Terminus, that's going to be on Kickstarter as you're listening to this, but has also been involved in other parts of comics, including being a PR rep for a lot of great indie creators as well. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk about this book, a great sci-fi comic, kind of a apocalyptic sci-fi comic. It's got some vibes of Battlestar Galactica with a nice twist on it. So a lot of cool stuff there. The book looks awesome. The art's really fantastic. I really enjoyed the preview pages that I got to read of it. And look forward to seeing the entirety of the series when it is done. So to not delay any further, I'll just do my plugs real quick. At Fortress Chris for social media, Twitter, all that stuff. FortressComicNews.com for the show. Also at Fortress Comics _ on social media. And we've also got the Patreon at patreon.com/FortressComics. So you can check that out. Like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTube version. And the reviews for the podcast version are always appreciated. And we would hope that you take a few seconds to do that for us. So enough of me. Let's go over this awesome interview with Jeff Haas. And I'll see you next time. All right, everybody, I've got another very special guest for you all this week. I want everyone to welcome to the show Mr. Jeff Haas. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So, Jeff, even though we've talked many times over the past, 8 months or so, this is the first time we're meeting face-to-face and the first time you've been on the show. So I would like to start where we put our new guests through the ringer and tell kind of the origin story, like what got you into comics, and then at what point were you deciding you wanted to get involved in the business and start writing them?
Okay, I'm a second-generation comic book nerd. My dad was a comic book nerd a long time ago in the 50s and 60s, and when I became old enough to read, he got me into comic books, primarily like Green Lantern, Fantastic Four, Batman, things of that nature. And I guess I started when I was around 9 really reading them, and I've been reading them pretty much ever since. So about 34 years I've been reading comic books and collecting. So I got quite a collection at the moment, and it gets in your blood. Anyone who's a comic book fan knows it's sort of like a drug. It gets in your blood. It's hard to kick, and yep. I haven't been able to kick it yet. So, and I don't think I'm trying that hard. So,
yeah, I remember in my 20s, it was the only time I actually got fired from a job, and I didn't have a job for a period, and I had to cancel my pull list, and I went like 2 years without it. And then one day I walked into a new comic store, and it was like that, and I was right back to like buying all these books again. So yeah, I completely understand that. So yeah, you mentioned you've always been a fan. Like, what got you to the point where you wanted to start creating them yourself?
I think most people who read comic books think to themselves, I'd love to get one for myself out there. I mean, there's a longer story involved too, having to do with cross-gen comic books. I don't know if you remember cross-gen back in the day. I don't know if there was been before your time. I don't really know.
I know of cross-gen, yes.
Yeah, so cross-gen was a comic book in the early 2000s, and they were one of the few companies at the time that was accepting submissions to new writers using their universe. So I thought to myself, I had an idea that I was going to pitch them. So I spent a few months putting together a script with some characters I created for myself. And I finished. And when I finished, they announced they're shutting down. And I decided, well, I put a lot of work into this. What if I made it my own thing? And eventually it became Sanctus. And that was kind of like the doorway into trying to create my own.
And so you've been creating comics for a little while. Like you mentioned Sanctus. You've done it on Kickstarter a few times and a few other books. I mean, what kind of books were you interested in making when you first started to come up with this idea to make comics?
It's not really a genre. It's more just ideas that are interesting. I mean, Sanctus was the first one, which is a little more in the horror genre. Nightmare Patrol is more in the action. I guess action horror. I guess that one does go under action horror a little bit. I did a Santa Claus, which is sort of a kid's Christmas horror story. So maybe a horror is parents the theme. And then I did Malick Running Devil, which is kind of an actioner, sort of like a Spawn-ish action story. And now I'm doing a sci-fi story with The End of All Terminus. But I guess that has a horror. I guess I'm a horror writer. Apparently. Now that I'm looking at my body of work, horror seems to be the theme. So I guess I'm a horror writer.
I got to go. He's a horror writer. It's okay. I know Colin Bunn's a horror writer too. And every so often he does random things as well. So you're in good company.
I feel like I just had like a revelation on the show. Everyone, when they told me, asked me, when did you know you were a horror writer? I was like, I was on
on this podcast. The guy kept bugging me and I said, fine, I'm a horror writer. Yeah, and you've done other cool things. I mean, we'll get to Terminus. We definitely want to talk about that. You're launching a Kickstarter with that soon. But you also have done other things inside the realm too, not only competing with me in the podcast realm, but the one that I'm really, really interested in is you're kind of a PR manager for a lot of these indie creators. People who don't know because they don't see behind the scenes because I live alone, and I'm sure none of you are stalking me, I hope. That Jeff is actually one of the ones that gives me a lot of the creators that come on the show. So how is that? When did you kind of decide to do that, and what goes into it for you?
I never really decided. It kind of happened. once again, depends. Back in the day, now, some years ago, going back 4+ years ago, I started doing public relations for a podcast that I'm no longer a part of. I did their public relations, and one of the people on the show, one of the hosts, was also a author of indie novels. And the person thought, hey, if you can get us guests, you probably can then get guests on other shows. It's the same thing, which it's not, by the way. But I figured she was going to pay me, so for now it is. So I started doing it, and I was successful at it. And some other people was like, hey, you do this person's publicist work. PR work, how about you do me? I said, okay, you're paying me. I will do that as well. So they did it, and it went really well. And then other people said, hey, I want to do this too. And then after the third or fourth person said to do it, apparently I became a PR person, and I just kept doing it because people kept coming to me. And it's never stopped. I will say I never advertise myself. I don't seek out ever a client, but I've never not had a full complement of clients in any given month.
Yeah, and you have a lot of great ones. Like I said, many of my listeners know because we've had them on the show. Yeah, it's one of those things I always think of because obviously from my end, I kind of do the PR for the show too. I have a few people like yourself who reach out to me, which makes my life so much easier. Thank you, Jeff, for doing that. but I also reach out to a lot of creators and try to schedule everything and get it together as well. And I always think, I hate emailing somebody like multiple times to be like, hey, would you please come on? Would you please come on the show? And then I catch myself doing it because like Jeff will email me while, spoiler to everybody, podcasting doesn't pay the bills. So I have a day job and I'll be at my job, be like, oh, Jeff emailed me. I'll answer that later because I'm at work. And then I'm sure Jeff's like, why isn't Chris emailing me back? It's been 3 days. It's because I looked at it and I put it away and I didn't think about it when I got home. That must be the most frustrating part of the job.
I will point out, I never forget that I sent the email out. So there's a timetable where I'm like, all right, here it comes. Here comes the, hi, just check it in. What's up? That comes, but that's a lot of people do that. And I will more as a PR person than I have for my podcast, will send multiple texts, messages. Hi, just checking in. Checking in again. How's it going? Just checking in one last time. But it's how the game is played, and it's fine. It's the way it goes. But I never forget an email that I send. I always make sure I get back in touch. But we sent out multiple. But you responded in the end, so it's always worked out for me. So it's time well spent.
Yes, I always try my best. I promise you, Jeff. And then you mentioned you were on a prior podcast and now you're doing a new one. Not necessarily that new. I know you've been doing it for a little while, it looks like. Traversing the Stars. I mean, what's that? Are you doing kind of similar to what we're doing, interviewing creators? Or what's that show about?
All right, so the Survivor from the Stars podcast I've been doing now for almost a year and a half. Probably, I think it's a year and 5 months, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Pretty much by myself, like you. I'm a one-man show. And I've some guests I've interviewed in the past include Alex Proyas from The Crow and Dark City, the director. Nicholas Meyer from Star Trek Wrath of Khan. Thomas Jane from The Punisher. Armin Shimmerman, who plays Quark in Deep Space Nine. Robert Picardo. Will Whedon. I do a lot of celebrities, movies, TV, and then I do some combo people like Stan Sakai, Jeremy Adams, JMD Matisse, and I do some indie people as well. Usually my clients are often the indie people who I interview, but sometimes I'll interview other people as well. So I try to keep a good mix of people. I try to do a decent mix, but I do three episodes release a week. And they go to YouTube and Podbean and Apple and Spotify and all everything.
Yeah, and it says that listed here is entertainment podcast with sci-fi vibes. So do you keep? I'm assuming you're a big sci-fi fan like myself.
I'm a huge nerd. If anyone who knows my podcast, and I don't know if there's anyone out there who does know, but I have some subscribers, so I assume there's somebody out there who knows. I tend to have a big list of Star Trek guests on my show. It's rare for me to go a month without one or two Star Trek guests, Star Wars guests, Stargate. I mean, I do more than just sci-fi. I mean, I do someone from The Consultant, I got someone coming up from the movie Tetris. So, I mean, there's non-sci-fi guests who come on the show regularly, but I will say Star Trek and Stargate and stuff like that tends to be a large portion of who I've got.
Awesome. So yeah, a lot of great guests, and that's really cool stuff. I mean, that Tetris movie looks phenomenal, by the way. Side note to everything.
Yeah, I'm interviewing the guy who's going to play Mikhail Gorbachev from the Russian Prime Minister. I can't remember. I think it's Matthew March, I think is his name. He'll be coming on the show in about 2 weeks.
Awesome. So yeah, so you're doing all this stuff, and then on top of, I mean, this is actually, that's the stuff that's on top of the main thing, which is comics. So we mentioned a bunch of those that you were doing, and you kind of went into the name of the new book that's going to be hitting Kickstarter soon, which is The End of All Terminus. So
yes,
I guess to start this conversation, what's The End of All Terminus about?
All right. It's a sci-fi, it's an epic sci-fi adventure apocalyptic story. So basically how the story goes is the universe is dying. There's something called the Great Rift that's pulling the universe apart. You can debate all you want what that would cause that, but it's probably dark energy eventually being stronger than dark matter in a fictional type thing. And the universe is ripping itself apart. So the last 7 sentient species in the universe have gathered together on a ship called the Terminus with the idea or the hope or the desperate hope to escape the boundaries of our universe, whoever's outside our universe, and to attempt to continue to survive. Terminus is a ship of about 250,000 individuals made up of those 7 species. By the end, there'll probably be about 10 left. So things obviously don't go well throughout. But it's a question of adventure, escape, the meaning of life in the universe. And then obviously, philosophically, is there anything beyond this?
So it sounds like almost a... It's got a Battlestar Galactic vibe to me in that
a little bit.
Yeah. But you it's more than just humans. Like it's a lot of different creatures, which I like. I like when sci-fi at its best, being a huge Star Wars fan. And then, like I said, Battlestar Galactica, I love too. But with Star Wars, one of the fun things of that franchise is all these weird alien civilizations out there and creatures and everything, and that's kind of the best part. So I'm assuming you said 7 different species, so are they all humanoid, or have you kind of made like these really unique different species that you're going to go into?
Like I said, there's 7 species. There's human-ish element to most of them. There's the link, which is sentient machines is the link. There's a very similar to a Klingon type species. Anyone who knows the Ents knows one another species that's in there. There's the Zrakians, which is a clone species of just 2 individuals. Basically, one individual called Alpha, has, and there's also a character called Beta, but they're pretty much identical completely on a genetic level. And eventually, when they, if they were to survive, they would release the clone, the genetic material that they have stored, and create a whole civilization of exactly genetically identical beings, which is what they are. They're all, they all look exactly the same. So that's their goal, because they believe they're perfect. They're the perfect species. They're the Paragon, who, I can't give away too much of what they are, but they're sort of, the closest you would get to would be, they're kind of introverted, passive aliens, maybe almost classically what aliens kind of look like a little bit, and who they are is kind of a mystery. Acolytes of DeVoe, I've been referring to them as space Catholics, but they're a religious, a group that's highly faith-based, based on, and they all are followers of DeVoe, which is who they believe is their God. And they believe that they're chosen by God to be the survivors of the universe. And it kind of follows those kind of ideas and concepts.
Those all sound really cool. I really like the clone ones. Like, that's, there's a lot of cool things you could do there. That's definitely my favorite of the group. So you sent me a quick preview of what you have for the book.
Yeah.
I guess my first question from what I saw, because what you sent me was mostly black and white. Is the book itself black and white, or will it be full colors for it?
It's going to primarily be black and white. If we hit the first stretch goal, which is about $3,000, we're going to do a color version. But for now, we're going to keep it black and white.
Which I was going to say, I was looking over it and examining it this morning, and I think the black and white works. Like, not all art can work in black and white, but I really do think that it's pulled off with the artists you have here. So,
That's Brad Shipp. Brad Shipp does a phenomenal job with the series. He does great with the gray tones. He does a great job. He's the primary visionary of how these characters look. I kind of gave him some suggestions of what how I kind of saw them, some of these characters, but he's the one who kind of, as all great artists do, I mean, they're the visual talent behind the comic book. You know, the writer kind of does the concepts, but the artist tends to be visually just better at design. And I think he knocked out of the park with these characters.
Yeah, and then I always, when I'm working with an artist in any project, it's usually their idea is better than mine, because yeah, I'm not visually, I don't have that muscle. Plus, I'm always thinking, this is the, like, if you're doing a comic, this is the person that hopefully has to draw this thing hundreds and hundreds of times. So I should let them have some design aspect on it, because they're the ones that have to keep coming back to this. And yeah, I don't want them to run into the Jim Lee drawing the boot on Batman problem.
I don't know that one, actually.
Jim Lee tells the story where when he first got Batman, he wanted to distinguish himself, and he drew the tread into Batman's boots. And then people loved it, and he realized, like, oh shit, now I have to do this every issue. And so it became one of the things that he was known for, but he was kind of like, oh man, like, why did I do that? I just made more work for myself.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Brad Shipp in a lot of ways. Like for instance, how the Terminus looks, like the ship at the Terminus. Basically, how that appearance came about, I said, he asked me, what does it look like? I said, it looks cool. And he said, what does that mean? I said, it's big and cool, and it has to be able to go really far, really fast. And he said, okay, meaning what? I said, just do it. And he said, okay. And I was like, man, I gave this guy, like, no directions whatsoever. And he's like, what does the Lorelians look? They said, they're plant people. I said, yeah, but what about them? I said, I don't know, they look really cool, though, but they're plants. He said, okay, meaning? I said, just do it, man. Just make it look cool. And I was, I mean, like, that's how, like, every description I ever gave him was like, it's just that. Just make it look cool. You're probably thinking to myself, God damn, just give me direction. I was like, I have no idea. I'm not visually, I don't have a great visual acuity. So, you know, the Link. What does the Link look like? Well, they're sentient machines. What does that mean? It means make them look cool. Cool machines. He's like, okay. So, yeah, I kind of feel bad for my artist, but he took it in stride and it all worked.
So, yeah, mine is like, it's always pop culture references. So it's like, it's a machine race. Yeah, like ROM, but not ROM. Like, don't.
Yeah, you can see why artists probably sometimes are like, those freaking writers, my God. And we're like, just do it. Just make it look cool. And then they send it to us. We're like, did you want to put just a little bit more hair on him? And then he's like, fucking, what the hell, dude? It's like, you know, just, but I always feel bad. And I always, you know, at the end of the day, I always appreciate what they do because, like I said, without the artist's visual ability, I would have no idea what to tell them, what the things are. I'm just like, just make it cool. That's all I know. Just make it cool.
Yeah. That back and forth between a writer and artist is so important, and it's underrated. Yeah. But yeah. So the book, like we said, is hitting Kickstarter. And when is it launching?
All right. I'm launching with a live show March 14th at 7:30 on Instagram. What we're doing, we're doing it live. So people in the chat room, some of them will be invited to come on and pitch their work for like 3 to 10 minutes to come on. They can promote themselves as well as all part of the celebration. And then at 8 o'clock Eastern live, I will be clicking, to submit, and then it goes live. So live launch officially launching March 14th at 8. The live show is 7:30 on Instagram, so just follow me on Vector_comics. If you're in the chat box, you just give me a shout out. You'll probably be brought on as a guest, and they'll give you about 3 to 10 minutes, as long as you're not a jerk, to pitch your own stuff as well.
So yeah, so as you're listening to this, that's already happened. So you can go back and watch that live, what Jeff here did live. But yeah, that's already happened, unfortunately. So we'll be a little late on getting in there live, but the book will be live, so you'll be able to check it out on Kickstarter. I guess just to end it, a few questions about the Kickstarter, because yeah, you're currently not live, so I can't look at what you have. I mean, what are you offering with the Kickstarter? I'm assuming you're doing a digital and then a physical copy, but what else can people expect from it?
Okay, we're gonna have 3 variant covers. One is from Chris Michael from Crit. He's doing a Crit Terminus mashup where Thraxus, my characters, me arm wrestling with his characters on the cover. So if you like Crit, like Chris Michael and whatnot, get that variant. Dennis Valencia already has a variant cover that he completed. Looks badass. Then I got a 3rd painted cover. That'll be a little higher price point. That's coming probably a week into the campaign, and that's gonna look really cool because it's gonna be a painted cover. It's gonna be really cool. We're gonna have a digital bundle. There's literally like 18 indie comic book people have contributed an indie PDF, digital PDF, to my campaign. So it'll be issue number 1 from like 18 different indie comic book people. That'll be like $14 for about 20 comic books.
Awesome.
So it's basically less than $1 per PDF. There's going to be a 3D printing of Terminus, so you can literally own a 3D model of the Terminus, 3D printed. So that's a pretty cool one as well. We got mugs with the logo of the ship on, and it'll say Terminus on the mug. We're gonna have T-shirts. There is a phone dock organizer with a specially made custom with Terminus on it. There's going to be a wooden etched logo that's gonna be made available. We're gonna have I'm gonna sell guest spots on my podcast as well. There's gonna be ad spots. There's going to be producer spots. There's a lot that's gonna be there. So you can have a retail bundle. There's gonna be a variant cover bundle. So there's gonna be like 14 different tiers. There's something on my campaign for everybody, and the digital is $2. So even if you can't afford the big stuff, get the digital PDF for $2. You at least get to read the issue.
Comic, not only a comic for $2, you can't beat that deal, but then you can, because you're also offering the digital indie bundle that's 20 yeah. comics for $14. Like that's great.
Well, I really like the fact that the indie community came out in stride for me, and they really did. And yeah, so not only will you get introduced to my comic book Terminus, and you're also going to get an issue of Malik Running Devil, which I wrote, and 2 issues of Nightmare Patrol, but you're going to get introduced to like 15 other comic books by other indie people, so you can get into their comic book, you get to read the first issue. One person is offering first and second issue. So yeah, there's something there for you for $14, get 20 comic books, what the hell.
Awesome stuff. And then I guess my final thing to kind of wrap it up is, the book itself is the campaign for the first issue? Is it for the first trade paperback, or is it an original graphic novel? Like, what's the format for the book?
All right, so basically the campaign's going to be for the first issue at this point. The faster, the obviously, we'd like to bump run into the second issue as soon as possible, but more likely we're going to look at a six-month gap between publishing the first one and then second campaign for the second one. But it's going to be a longer-form series, but a finite longer-form series. There's a definite endpoint that I have in mind. It's just a question of how long it will take me to get there, and that's partly going to be based on the fan base. If you guys love the book, I can do everything I want to do, and the story's going to go a little bit longer. If I'm kind of scratching to get by, probably a much shorter series, and I'll wrap it up. But for the most part, I'm hoping that everyone loves it, and I can tell the story I want to tell.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, the book sounds awesome. I can guarantee you all, I've seen behind the scenes. I've seen the art. The art is awesome. I like the concept, some cool aliens and everything. So I think you got something cool here. I look forward to seeing the finished product. But before you take off, I guess the way we normally take off here is pimp out any social media you have where people can follow you and all that.
All right, so you can find on Instagram, Vector_comics, on Twitter, at @JHaasInterviews. You can also find me at Traversing the Stars, or Traversing Stars on Twitter. Find me on Facebook under Jeff Haas. You can find me under Terminus, has his own page as well, as does a bunch of other stuff. I'm on Hive under something or other, on Spatable under something or other, and under Tribal under something or other, and on LinkedIn as myself. So search me. You'll find me. I'm around. You'll find me.
There you go. So, and to everybody out there, as always, I will have links in the show notes down below, not only to the Kickstarter campaign, but also to Jeff's YouTube channel, so you can check out all those awesome interviews that he's doing, because they do sound awesome. So, Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat with me today. I look forward to the book, and best of luck with the campaign, man.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having me.